Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode one of The Land Show. I'm Mitch Thompson.
I'm Aaron Swatsky.
And in the show, we're going to try and just take you through the land of geekdom. Games, movies, music, comics, whatever. We're going to be your number one source, or your number two source that repeats all the information from your number one source.
But no, we're going to be the number one source because we say so. And because filthy is my king.
Right. Okay, so on this week's show, we're going to have a little game news for you. We're going to have some film news for you, as well as a little some reactions to some movies we've seen lately. Then we're going to have a short television segment this weekend, a little bit of tech news, and then we're going to wrap it up. So let's go ahead and get into the game news. All right, and now the games segment for this week. First of all, what have you been playing this week?
Actually, I've been doing something similar to what you've been doing. I've been trying to get back into the Metal Gear Solid series.
Right on.
But since I currently don't have a PlayStation 1, a PlayStation 2, or a PlayStation 3, my choices are kind of limited. So I went to my copy of Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes for the GameCube.
Oh, right on. How's that been?
I decided to completely restart because I was screwed up in the first place. Ended up just sitting in my... I spent an entire day in my chair just playing the game and loving every second of it. I don't know why I hated it in the first place, but... it's mostly because I went in the first place assuming it was a third-person shooter. Kind of like Gears of War or something like that. Because the GameCube one has the different perspective compared to the PlayStation 1 version of the game.
Right.
So, I went in assuming it's a first-person shooter, just pop into the first-person mode, shoot anyone when you see them, just keep going. I was getting my ass handed to me at roughly every 30 seconds, so that wasn't working.
Yeah.
I retried it, and now I went in actually trying to not be seen, not shoot everyone, and actually had a much better time playing the game, and understood where the vision... Kojima had for the game and how it was meant to be played.
Yeah. So
I'm currently past I'm at spoiler alert.
How old is the game's at least 10 years old.
Actually it is the 10th year anniversary of the game, but this November, but I'm just at the sniper wolf battle. I have to go back and grab the sniper rifle now.
Oh, right on.
But the best battle was the ninja battle, by far.
That was a good one. Yeah, like Aaron mentioned, I'm amidst all the hype for Metal Gear Solid 4. I went back and I started playing Metal Gear Solid 2, which is essentially my first Metal Gear Solid game. I played a bit of the first one, I played a bit of Twin Snakes, but I never really got that into it. Around sometime last year, I picked up 2 and 3 for the PS2. But I didn't really get to play in that much. I just actually finished Metal Gear Solid 2, and I was really surprised at how short it was. I was expecting a game of such a grand scale to be really long, but I finished it in just under about 10 hours. So I finished that, and I'm about 7 hours into Metal Gear Solid 3 right now.
The average game length for the Metal Gear series up until the fourth one was about 10 hours a game, so...
Yeah, and that really helped, because I was expecting it to be a really daunting task, but it was actually a pretty breezy playthrough. You know, I enjoyed that.
It was fun.
So, with the announcement of, that it's going to be in our news segment, with Diablo 3 announced, I just installed Diablo 2... on my Mac, and I haven't really gotten to play it that much, but from what I played so far, I'm really enjoying it. That's one that I never really got to play before, but I'm really looking forward to go back to. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty 4 online. God, what an awesome...
Oh, I forgot a game, which I picked up this week. Invaders Extreme for the Nintendo DS.
Oh, how's that?
That It's, I'm gonna try and review it next week, but here's a sum up so far. It's gaming bliss. It is the perfect game for the Nintendo DS. It's just pick up, play, pause, flip, close it later.
Yeah.
Well, I was at work today, I had a 15-minute break, and I had nothing to do, so I pulled out my DS and started. I played 15 minutes of Space Invaders Extreme, and got further than I did before. It's they take the basic Space Invaders formula, and pretty much make it super 10 times better than it was before. And the best part is it's a budget title, and when it's brand new, I got it for $20, give or take it to buck or two for the U.S. currency, but
right,
must buy.
Yeah, that's one that I'm really wanting to pick up, and I might break down tomorrow and stop by Best Buy on my way to class. But yeah, that I don't know. That looks really, really enticing. So let's go ahead and move on into our new segment. As we mentioned just a minute ago, Blizzard announced after months of speculation and years of waiting, Diablo 3. They're releasing Diablo 3. They announced it at the French Invitational.
Wasn't that usually supposed to be about World of Warcraft, though?
What was?
The conference.
No, I think it was just a general Blizzard show. They showed off StarCraft 2 some more. And, you know, it's crazy. For the first time in... Well, I don't know if for the first time in years, but right now we're having Blizzard in production on all three of their major IPs: Diablo, StarCraft, and Warcraft, with Wrath of the Lich King.
They need to make a real Warcraft. I'm sorry, but World of Warcraft does not exist to me. They need to make a real Warcraft again.
Way to alienate half of our audience, Aaron.
That's why I'm from Canada.
Something like that. Anyway, they've announced that it's going to run on Windows and Mac, like all of their other games.
Day and day release on both platforms.
Right. It's going to be using Battle.net again. And for some reason, people are still speculating that it's going to be on consoles, which has already been...
Okay, let me put it this way. When StarCraft Ghost comes out, I'll tell you StarCraft 2 and... Diablo 3 are coming out to the 360.
Yeah, people need to understand that not every game is well suited for a console, and I think Blizzard realizes that. They want their game to work as best as it can on the best platform it can.
To be fair, Diablo has a chance, but StarCraft, no way in hell it's happening.
I don't know, because, I mean, Jay Wilson, the lead designer on the project, already said that they're not going to be porting it to console at all.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying if the two games would have the better chance of working on a console.
Maybe. But I don't know. Also, this week there's been a group that's been playing through, I believe, all the Mario games for Child's Play. They're raising money, and at least as of the time of their recording, what the hell was that?
Trying to do a drum roll. I can't do it well.
That apparently sucked. Not. at least as of the time of this recording, they are still playing through. Last time I checked, there were 113 stars through Mario Galaxy, and they've raised over $10,000 for Child's Play, which is just, I mean, fantastic. If you are interested in donating, their website, you can go ahead and donate over at MarioMarathon.com. And it looks like their Ustream page is down for right now. I don't know, maybe they're done, but last I checked, as I said, they raised over $10,000, which is just fantastic. So, all right, and on to a few highlights for the game releases this week. We're getting Guitar Hero Aerosmith, which... Thank you, Aaron. Guitar Hero Aerosmith bundle for just about every console: Wii, PS2, PS3, 360. We're getting the Gears of War update, which is, I believe, just Gears of War with all the downloadable content.
It's Gears of War for the 360, the PC, and it has all downloadable content for both platforms, plus a few documentary-like features on a second disc.
Right. And was it on a second disc? I thought it was just a few Gears of War 2 videos.
It could be on the same disc, but like, there's also some like interviews about the first game as well, I believe.
Oh, right on.
It's just like the standard collector's edition sort of thing. But it comes out for about $20 less than the current version was when it was released, so...
Right.
I only have one question, though. Where's the Mac version that was promised 8 months ago?
I don't really see that happening, especially considering that it's so closely tied to the Microsoft platforms. I don't know if... I'm not sure if Microsoft is going to want that going to PC. Not that they have complete control over it. I just think that that's something that they might want to be... that they might be discouraging.
They might have bought it out by then, but it was announced a Mac version a while ago.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that.
It was about 8 months to a year ago.
Oh. And then the one I'm most excited for this week is Trauma Center Under the Knife 2. That's going to be coming out for the DS this week, and I think I'm going to go ahead and pick that one up because the first game is really what sold me on the DS, and I think it still remains one of the best games I've played on the DS to date.
If you can't tell, we like the DS here.
Well, I mean, that's just... I mean, that... I don't know what you're saying. No doubt about that.
Power!
All right, now some film talk for this week. The big and only news story that we have is David Hayter, also known as the voice for Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid series, has put out a plea to fans on his IMDb page to email Sony Movie Studios to ask to, as sort of a petition, to let David Hayter write the screenplay for the upcoming Metal Gear Solid film adaptation. And I think that's, I mean, a really good choice, not only considering his close ties to the Metal Gear Solid series, but I didn't realize he actually wrote both the first two X-Men movies, which were excellent.
The two good X-Men movies.
Right. And not only that, he also wrote the screenplay for Zack Snyder's upcoming Watchmen adaptation, which, yes, by all accounts, is looking pretty good right now. So, yeah, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'd prefer the Metal Gear Solid movie to be CGI, so David Hayter could be the voice himself as well. But if anyone should write the screenplay, it should be Kojima. But since he's unwilling to write the screenplay for the movie, the next best person I feel should be David Hayter, since he has the closest tie to the character after Kojima does anyone on the planet.
Right, and I mean, not only that, I really do think that he could get some collaboration with Kojima. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, it was he's actually played and beaten all the games in the series, which I'm doubting any other screenwriter for the movie would have done.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a given. I don't think that really qualifies him over his, you know, being the central character for the series, but I'm sure that helps too.
Yeah, because he actually knows, actually understands the story that's going on in the game besides his own character.
Right. I guess. Something like that. Anyway, I'm going to do just a couple quick impressions of a couple movies I've seen lately. Just the other day, I saw Jack Black's newest CGI animated movie, Kung Fu Panda. I really wasn't expecting anything out of this. A lot of the more recent CGI, non-Pixar CGI movies and big movies have been pretty disappointing for the most part. But I was really surprised by this one. For one, the CGI in this is absolutely gorgeous. The art direction, especially in the opening and closing credits, they have a very sort of watercolor look to them, and it's really beautiful. But the rest of the movie is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it really shows how far CGI has come in all these years. But not only that, but the movie is incredibly funny and engaging. Unlike a lot of the more recent Shrek movies, it's not just packed to the brim with jokes, but a lot of the visual gags really work in this, and the voice cast in this, aside from Jack Black, is really fantastic. They have Seth Rogen in a minor part, Jackie Chan, Angelina Jolie, Lucy Liu, just a lot of really distinct...
Wait, Jackie Chan and Angelina Jolie?
Yes.
Sold. I'm sorry, sold.
I mean, like, most of those roles are very minor, but just a lot of these really recognizable, distinct voices. And really good comedic timing. But yeah, overall, I'd say that this is absolutely worth the money. It's really something that needs to be seen on the big screen or when it eventually does come to Blu-ray. It's visually stunning and just a really great all-around movie. Well, that being the good movie I've seen recently,
just hurts.
Well, I also recently saw Get Smart. Now, it isn't a terrible movie. I'm not going to call it a terrible movie because it's not. But honestly, what's there just isn't funny. They've got a lot of really great actors. I mean, they've got Steve Carell, Alan Arkin, Anne Hathaway, The Rock. I mean,
I'm sorry, The Rock does not qualify as a good actor. He is a wrestler, not an actor. He has done some good roles, but not an actor.
He's absolutely an actor. He's absolutely an actor now, and he's been in some really great roles. But he's got really great comedic timing in all those other movies. But in this, he's just sort of there. He doesn't. None of the actors really get the chance to show what they really can do. And a lot of times, the movie becomes too focused on being an action movie rather than being a comedy. There are so few actual jokes in this movie, and the ones that are there are usually just bad slapstick or obvious wordplay. Just nothing clever, nothing as clever or as interesting as any of the characters, story, or jokes from the original show. It just doesn't hold up at all, and maybe you can catch this one off when it comes to the DVD in the bargain bin, which it will likely end up. Now, for the next part, Aaron and I, we're going to be having a little discussion about the Indiana Jones movie. Now, it's been out a month, but we've been... The first episode of the show has been kind of in development hell for a while. But we really kind of want to... And we've been saving this debate for the first... episode of the show, but we had very different reactions to it, and we wanted to discuss them on air, to put it kindly.
I guarantee this will become a rant very soon.
Oh, no, we won't. We won't let it get to that point. But let's just start off by saying I thought that the movie was absolutely terrible. In no way did it hold up to the original films, and even if it was a non-Indiana Jones movie, it would be heavily flawed.
Okay, first I have to start off. You stated on the forums several times that you're going into this movie by not watching any of the trailers whatsoever, right?
That is correct.
See, I was prepared for a bad movie because I actually watched the trailers and saw some of the scenes you complained about before I actually saw the movie. Like the rocket chair scene. The rocket car, I mean.
Right, but the fact that you knew about it in advance doesn't make it any better. The point is that a lot of these scenes don't fit in an Indiana Jones movie. In the past, a lot of the arguments I've been hearing are, you know, well, we had Nazi face melting and these stones that... And cult leaders ripping people's hearts out, and, you know, 800-year-old knights. But the point is that those all exist in a cultural archetype. The idea of these old, ancient artifacts and these mystical powers, those are ingrained in our collective conscience. Even most non-Christians know the basic story and ideas behind the Ark of the Covenant or the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
But the thing is, alien stories vary so much that there isn't any one story and any one idea that people have.
I thought it was cool that they threw in Area 51 as a holding place for all the old artifacts. I thought that was pretty neat.
See, I didn't like that, though, because at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark remained as one of those scenes that remained best shrouded in mystery. You didn't know where this warehouse was. You didn't know what it was. It was just so secretive. And I don't think that... I mean, revealing that and having those winks and nods to the Raiders in that scene, I don't think that worked. I mean...
The entire movie was winks and nods. You have to see that.
You're right, and there wasn't any actual content in there worth seeing.
I will say, I hated Jones's sidekick in this movie. He was... No, I'm not talking about Mutt. I'm talking about that older fat guy. I hated him the entire movie.
Right. Just him as a character, even from the beginning, wasn't at all likable. And when he was supposed to become likable again, it just didn't work, I don't think.
He was supposed to become hated... I didn't see a reason to hate him because I didn't like him in the first place.
Right. And that relies on you liking it first. I think what really killed this movie is Spielberg's over-reliance on CGI. And not just...
Yeah, I was thrilled. I heard an interview somewhere that saying that the movie is going to go light on the CGI, and most of the movie was actually like live action like the previous ones. I was thrilled when I heard that. When I saw the movie, like, okay, who lied to whom?
Yeah. I mean, it was just... The thing is, what has now become known as the refrigerator scene, that's where the movie stopped being fun for me. Up to that point, I had this feeling of, oh no, it'll, you know, it's still Indiana Jones. It'll still get to that point.
The refrigerator scene was awesome, though.
I disagree. The thing is, when it got to that scene, I realized that they didn't realize what the character was still. The thing about Indiana Jones is, yes, he was a superhero, but he wasn't infallible. He was still able to die, get hurt. There was still that, you know, fear for his, you know, he still had his fear for his life. But at that point, there was nothing that could kill him, not even an atomic bomb. And that's where it really fell off for me, because there was no emotional investment in the character, and it just became this big 90-minute, almost bad superhero movie.
Fair enough. No matter what, it was still better than Spider-Man 3.
I haven't seen Spider-Man 3, so I don't know.
But just don't. Trust me, it'll thank me later. But, before the movie came out, they said that they might take Mutt as a character and just expand the story as him. Before I saw this movie, I was completely and entirely against the idea. After this movie, I thought, might as well, there's no way they can make the franchise worse.
Well, okay. Wait, I thought you said you liked the movie, and now you're saying making the franchise worse?
Well,
make up your mind.
I enjoyed the movie, but I do realize it was no way up to the caliber of the first three movies. But I wasn't expecting that going in. That's why I was able to enjoy the movie.
Fair enough. You know, this movie did one thing, and it really did make me enjoy Shia LaBeouf, which I didn't expect at all. Every TV show, every movie I've seen him in before, I found him completely unlikable. He was terrible in Transformers. Just nothing really great, but in this one, I really did actually enjoy his presence, and he was one of the few good things that I found.
The Jeep sword scene.
I enjoyed the jungle chase scene, but it went on too long, and again, it relied way too heavily on CGI, especially towards the end.
Yeah, but seeing Indiana Jones wield a rocket launcher is awesome enough. Even though it was a wink to the first movie again.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on. I don't want to dwell on this discussion too long, especially on a movie that's been out for a month. Let's go over this week. There are two movies coming out in theaters. Hancock, the superhero movie starring Will Smith and Jason Bateman, which actually looks pretty good and is getting some good reviews and buzz around it.
I was hoping the movie would be good, but I had the gut feeling it was going to be a bad movie, but hearing that it has good reviews, that's making me feel much better about it.
I mean, I've been hearing some good things, and from what I've seen, Jason Bateman looks great in it, which, I mean, I haven't really seen anything that I've hated Jason Bateman in so far. But The Wackness, which is a movie that got a lot of buzz at this year's Sundance Film Festival. I've been hearing a lot of good things and a few kind of not so great things. From what I understand, it's sort of a stoner drama, if that makes sense. Starring Ben Kingsley and one of the Olsen, Mary-Kate Olsen. But yeah, it's takes place in the summers of 1994, and it's sort of this study of this Ben Kingsley character who's basically sells weed to a bunch of college kids in New York. I mean, I don't know. I've been hearing some good things, and I've been hearing some not so great things. But
the Olsons are involved, so that's a bad thing.
Not necessarily. I mean, this is one that I'm interested in checking out, but I'm going to have to maybe wait and hear a bit more about it first.
Yeah.
So. And on DVD this week, the only big release is Vantage Point, which by all accounts is just terrible and not really worth even talking about right now.
I was going to go see that, but I never got a chance to. Did you ever see it?
No, but I do know that Forrest Whitaker, while he was out promoting the movie, basically just started talking about how terrible the movie was. Which,
The guy that was supposed to be promoting the movie.
Yes. Not a great sign when one of your stars starts trash-talking the movie that he's in. Alright, and at this point we're going to talk about just some general stuff. First of all, Aaron wants to talk a bit about the recent iPhone developments with the Canadian, with Rogers in Canada, so take it away.
Okay, here's, for all of you Americans, you've been enjoying the iPhone for about a year now, and you've seen the prices, fairly decent. All the plans come with unlimited data, so you can surf the web whenever you want. Now, the speed of the GSM modem built into the iPhone isn't very fast, but the 3G one will be, and that still includes unlimited data, the same price plans. Now, for Canada, we're getting something slightly different. We're getting raped up our asses with the prices, and there's pretty much no benefit to the prices whatsoever. The maximum plan, which is $115 a month, which is roughly $115 a month American as well, the most it includes is 2 gigabytes of data. That's it. That's the maximum plan. And I'm just trying to pull up the page here. I had it up here a second ago. Main tab.
Well, like, what does 2 gigs entail? Like, I don't exactly get how that translates.
That's roughly a couple thousand web pages, but that includes every time you refresh a web page.
Wow. And is that the highest plan or the lowest?
That's the highest.
The highest? So, yes. I think I was reading a bit about this earlier. None of the plans in Canada include unlimited data?
No unlimited data whatsoever. Okay, here's the base plan. $60 a month, 150 minutes of talk, 400 megabytes of data. That's roughly 8 episodes of TFL. So if you were to stream Team Fremont Live 8 times, there is your data out the window.
Yeah.
75 text messages, and then unlimited visual voicemail and unlimited incoming text messages.
See, like, that's one of my big problems with the iPhone, is, even in America, a lot of the plans are prohibitively expensive. The phone at $200 isn't too bad, but I just can't imagine paying that much a month for phone service.
Now,
I
could see myself paying that per month if it included unlimited data, which it doesn't. No, here's the maximum plan. $115 a month, 800 minutes of talk. I get that for $40 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much get what the... Okay, before I start this, I pay $40 a month for my cell phone plan, and I get everything that comes in the high-end plan for the iPhone. So, 800 minutes plus unlimited evenings and weekends, 2 gigabytes of data, which is up to 1 million text emails, or 16,000 web pages, or 7,000 photo attachments, 300 text messages, and that's it.
Yeah.
Now, if you pull up the price equivalent of the US plan of AT&T, that's their unlimited plan, which includes everything unlimited: voice, data, includes everything except text, which you have to add a bit extra to get unlimited text. But for $115 a month, American, you get unlimited everything. Now, there's only one reason this is happening, is because Rogers has a monopoly over the Canadian GSM market, which is one of the two radios built into the iPhone 3G. The iPhone 3G has two radios, a GSM and a 3G. Rogers doesn't have an exclusivity on 3G, as TELUS has it as well, but TELUS doesn't have GSM. They're using quad band. No, not quad band, I'm sorry, that is GSM. They have, what is it? Dual band. TELUS is dual band, and they can't offer the iPhone. Rogers / Fido, which is owned by Rogers, are the only companies in Canada that can offer it. And in doing so, they're taking a monopoly of the market and just ass-raping all the customers about it. But here's the best part is, the petition that's been created in defense against this, there's several websites you can go to for this, which one is fuckyourogers.com, or the preferred link, www.ruinediphone.com. It'll bring you up to a splash page where you can sign a petition and dig the story to help raise awareness to this. And so far, it's been going well. They have 14,287 people that have signed the petition thus far, as of recording right now. Their goal was 10,000, which was met yesterday, the day after it was made. And so far, they've landed on CNN Money and Reuters Canada. So they've gotten a lot of publicity for this thing. And they've also created an open letter to Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. All stating that these people will not buy an iPhone for these kind of prices. And that's going to make Steve mad because it's going to cost him money.
Well, the problem is, you said that Rogers has a monopoly over the 3G networks in Canada?
Not 3G, the GSM. Which the GSM? Is the slower speed, but it's still one of the required radios within the iPhone.
Right. Well, if they have the monopoly, do you really think this petition's going to work? I mean, yeah, a lot of people are signing it, but at the end of the day, they're still the only carrier that people can use the iPhone on, and the iPhone is still it's a device that's still in very high demand. Do you think that the petition's going to do any different?
Well, the thing is, of course, you know, this is how everything works anyways. No matter what device it is, someone's still going to buy it. So there is going to be that sucker that buys it, but here, the thing is with the petition, they're going to print off every single entry into this petition to Rogers on July 11th, showing how about 14,000 people on how they're not buying an iPhone because they can't afford the price.
Wait, so they're going to buy 14,000 sheets of paper, print all that out, because they can't afford it?
No, not exactly, though. I'm not entirely sure the exact things, but they're currently collecting donations for this as well. Because their site actually keeps crashing every few minutes. I've been watching it closely. Every so often, the website crashes because they can't get enough bandwidth for the amount of people that are visiting this. People have actually started threatening Rogers because of the prices of this, and this is just collecting all of them together.
Okay. So, well, that's definitely a story that we're probably going to keep everyone updated on. It's one that I'm going to be following, that's for sure. But the big news of the week is that, as of this recording, Bill Gates has been retired for 2 days.
After, oh my god, Microsoft is now under the control of Steve Ballmer. All hell breaks loose. Run for the hills now.
After more than 20 years working at Microsoft, he's finally left, and it's going to be interesting to see how things start happening. It's not going to be a huge change, I'm sure, especially since his he's slowly been handing over his power over the last 2 years since he announced in 2006 that he'd be retiring. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see what kind of direction the company goes in.
Yeah, because Bill Gates hasn't had any ideas himself on any of the products they've been releasing in the last few years. He's more or less been in a money-based position and a figurehead of the company himself. It's just about time that he's stepped off, but he will be the head chairman of the board still as well, so...
Mm-hmm. Right, but, and I mean, there have been a lot of... we're not going to go over them all, but there have been a lot of blog posts about all the great stuff that, people don't exactly give Gates credit for. But, it's interesting to look back and see just all of the stuff that, he has done. But, so Bill Gates, no longer at Microsoft. Official.
If you want to see something funny, go to YouTube.com and look up the Bill Gates farewell. It's a clip from CES of this year. It's just a funny skit, right, including a bunch of different Hollywood celebrities and different other celebrities from around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see it?
I saw it around the time of CES, but I don't remember all of it. So.
The best part is they'd get Bono on there. He just starts swearing at Bill Gates for trying to get into the band. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Again, please forgive all of the not only the technological mess-ups that we might have, but the more, let's say, public relations problem, not public relations, public speaking problems. Those will certainly be resolved over the coming weeks and months, hopefully. Just keep in mind, of course, it's our first show. Give us some credit. I think we should just sum it up. I am co-hosting the show with Lad from the team of Fremont Forums, of course. I don't think we actually mentioned that. For the listeners from teamfremont.com, this is Lag and Orwig hosting the show. So,
Sir Leg of Canada.
That should sum up a lot, knowing that. So, if you want to get in contact with us, we'll definitely read your emails on the show. You can contact us at thelandshow@gmail.com. And you can go on over to the website at landshow.podomatic.com.
Go to freewebs.com/thelandshow, but right, just stick with the Podomatic website. It's better.
Right. And before we go, I think that each week we want to sort of highlight another podcast that we listen to that we really enjoy because, especially in the coming months, we're going to be working on a lot of stuff and improving the show a lot. But
so we'll be ripping a lot of you off of your content, so just let you know.
Yeah, so there are a lot of shows that have far better content than us that you might want to check out. But, don't quite unsubscribe from us yet. Just give us... give us a couple years to get things right. This week I wanted to highlight what I think is easily one of the best shows on the web for not only gaming but just about anything. It's a Broadcast Gamer. It's not only is it the first podcast that I ever subscribed to, but it is one of the best produced shows on the internet, in my mind. And MC Wilson, the host of that, is incredibly well-versed in gaming and whatnot and other stuff. But go ahead and head over to Broadcast Gamer if you haven't already, which, considering our audience, most people have. But
you should be considered a sinner for not listening to Broadcast Gamer yet.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There we go. Episode 1 of The Land Show in the bag. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been Mitch.
This is Aaron.
Thanks for listening.
See you another time.
All right, we did it.
We did it. Start recording now.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive. I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. Even though you broke my heart and killed me, I'm torn into pieces, and threw every piece into a pile. As they burned, it hurt because I was so happy for you. Now these points of data make a beautiful line, and we're out of beta, we're releasing on time. So I'm glad I got burned. Think of all the things we learned for the people who are still alive. Stay inside. Maybe you'll find someone else to help you. Maybe Black Mesa. That was a joke. Ha ha, bad chance. Anyway, this cake is great. It's so delicious and moist. Look at me still talking when there's science to do.
Yes.